That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
News Talk Cleveland, WERE, Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3, Cleveland. And streaming live at blackplanetradio.com. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
This is for that little child with no father. For that man that doesn't have a place to stay. For that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story? Tell you a story.
You can lean on me.
All right, it must be Monday at 5 o'clock because we're here, the issues, the people, and the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips. I happen to be the proud pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church, located at 11318 Miles Avenue. Best place to be on Sunday morning in Cleveland at 9 a.m. You can also catch us on Facebook. Thank you for our Facebook listeners who listened to us yesterday. Maybe there may be more of y'all listening on Facebook that attended church yesterday, but we're glad that you're there. All right, we appreciate you very so much. I'm also have the privilege to serve as the executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, which is an amalgamation of all of the clergy, African-American clergy groups in Greater Cleveland, including United Pastors and Missions, which will be meeting tomorrow under the leadership of Bishop Larry Macon. They'll be meeting tomorrow at Oakwood Village, at Mount Zion Church in Oakwood Village, tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And also the Baptist Ministers Conference under the leadership of President Reverend Dr. Leonard T. King, the proud pastor of First Zion Baptist Church, will be there tomorrow afternoon located at 10318 Garfield, which is on the corner of 105 and Garfield, right in Cleveland, Ohio, off 105 and Garfield. We'll be there tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And then Baptist Pastors Council and the leadership of Pastor Gator will be meeting there on Wednesday at 126 and Luke, right off of Kinsman, will be there on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And also all of the other the Cleveland Clergy Alliance and the Federation of Churches with the Kojic folks, with Dr. Andrew Clark. And we thank God for all of our clergy groups and organizations, Mount Pleasant Organization, and leadership of Reverend, our dear pastor, Reverend Dr. Larry Harris. So God bless all of our clergy and all the great work that we're doing across the city and the county here in our great place here in Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, Ohio. And I am absolutely delighted and excited to have with me Dr. Richard Montgomery, who is our leader there in Euclid. And we're going out to Euclid today. Isn't that right, Doctor?
Absolutely.
All right. And Dr. Montgomery is one of the brightest persons that I know, and he's also a candidate for the mayor of the city of Euclid. And the election is in less than 56 days, because it was 56 days last week.
Right,
so
right.
It was 56 minus 7. What is that, Doctor? You're faster than me.
56 minus 7, 49.
49. Must be 49 days left to the election day, and he's out there running and telling the story why there needs to be a change. But we're going out there tonight, Dr. Montgomery, because at 6:30, you and I and the many residents of the city of Euclid and other clergy folks across our great county will be listening to folks who have been victims of excessive force by the Euclid Police Department. We are meeting all roads lead there tonight at 6:30, Euclid Library in the Erie Room, 631 East 222nd Street. If you're planning on coming, I would suggest you leave now, because the meeting room is small and we intend to pack it out. And this is going to be one of the first, but not the last. We're going to have several meetings, right, and we're going to explain some things to folks, right, Dr. Montgomery? And he's going to give us an update of what's happening in Euclid right now. Go ahead, Doctor. Well, tell us what's happening in Euclid.
Well, you know, this in terms of tonight's event, this is actually what looks like progress in Euclid. As many know, the mayor announced almost 9 months ago that we were going to, after a result of a number of issues with our police department and members of the community, we were going to have listening sessions. She was going to travel to each community, sit and talk with residents and come up with solutions.
The mayor said that, right?
Yeah, yeah,
the mayor said it. And when did she say that, Dr. Montgomery?
This would have been September of last year. So actually, it's been a year now.
A year ago. How many listening sessions had the mayor had, Dr. Montgomery?
When Sarah Butterson came and did a follow-up back in July, she had absolutely zero at that time.
Zero. How many? Zero. That means, mayor, you said you're going to do something, and you did it zero times. You did it how many times? Not one, not two. Zero. All right. So we are the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, and we are the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. We are not the institution of Euclid. I'm not a council person. You're not even the mayor yet, but we know how important this issue is. So we're going to do it ourselves, mayor, because we're not waiting on no mayor for transformation. The transformation is coming, and it's coming with or without the mayor. Isn't that right, Dr. Montgomery?
It's coming with and without the mayor. And, you know, I guess for people to better understand some of my background, I was not looking to be a political candidate. I have always been a community leader. Everywhere I've lived, I've done different projects so that the quality of life for people could be improved when I found parts of the system that does not work. About almost 2 years ago, I started a group called the Euclid Community Action Team because after having sat with this mayor, talked to her about solutions to some of our problems, the solutions went on deaf ears. So I said, well, maybe she's—
Wait a minute. Hold on. Back up. Did you say you had a conversation with this current mayor?
I've talked to the mayor on a number of occasions.
And you gave her solutions?
I have a PhD, so I don't understand policy. I understand where policy fails. So I don't just come and say, hey, there's a problem.
Well, wait a minute. Let's stop right there, because sometimes in the African-American community, and this is a faith-based program, so especially in the African-American faith community, mm-hmm. we'll call a person doctor, and they haven't even graduated from high school. So I want to make sure where everybody is clear. You are a certified, a sanctified, glorified, real doctor with a Ph. and a D. Is that right?
I have a Ph. and a D. from the University of Toledo.
All right. And what is your degree in, sir?
Educational Leadership and Supervision with a focus in cognitive psychology. So I—
Lord have mercy. That's a lot.
Well, I look at how people— the psychology behind the way people make decisions in the workplace. So I've studied law enforcement people. I did my dissertation on school teachers in urban environments. I look at what the steps that go into place in how people make decisions and how those decisions are separated by experts and novices.
You know what we call that in the legal profession that I used to practice in? We know what we call you?
What's that?
An expert witness. You're an expert qualified witness. So you cannot just talk about it from an emotional or an observatorial viewpoint,
right,
but you can talk about it from an intellectual viewpoint and actually offer real solutions. And forget about talking to a dumb preacher like myself, but you talk to the mayor about solutions, and you're telling me with all of your education, all of your background, with all of your history and experience, she didn't listen to you, and you are a resident of the city of Euclid, correct?
I am a resident.
And she has you there as an answer, and she did not engage you or any solutions. That's a cotton pick. We call it in the street, we call that a cotton picking shame. Well, that's a cotton picking.
Well, the shame ain't over. Let me tell you this additional piece. So my wife and I are psychologists on a small group of people who actually study law enforcement officers' decision making. I offered to train the Euclid Police Department for free.
What? For free? Oh, man, don't do no. What? Wait a minute. The gospel is free. The salvation is free, but my services are never free.
Right.
What are you talking about? You're going to do your professional services for free?
So my wife and I participated on a grant to train law enforcement officers from all over the state of Ohio in what's called disproportionate minority contact, which is this thing where black people come in contact with the police more often than anyone else, even though when you compare black people with white people, black people and white people commit crime at the same rate. So why do you keep coming in contact more so with black people, even though white people commit crime?
Well, I'll give you one better, and I'm not a statistician, but I'm intelligent enough to know if we're committing the same amount of crime at the same rate, we're committing less because there's more of them than there are us. Now, I know how to count that.
Well, then there's the issue of disproportionality. But
said it in an intellectual PhD kind of way. I said it from the streets. If there's more of y'all, y'all are committing more crime than us. So why are y'all always looking at us? And why are all the prisons filled with us? I've been asking that question for a long time.
Well, as the PhD, I got to say, you know, even when you control for population differences, the rate is still the same. So I want to clarify that, because my PhD folks gonna check me on that, because I'm a sound suspect. But you know, and that's the thing, when you look at Cuyahoga County, and even and Euclid makes a difference when you talk about how laws are being implemented, because we send more people to our state prisons than any other county in any of the other 87 counties.
Right, I knew that.
And you know.
But I'm not sure if everybody else understands. How many counties are there in the state of Hawaii? Is it 50?
88.
Because 56 cities in the county. So 88 counties in the state.
Correct.
And out of 88 counties,
Cuyahoga County,
where we live in, where Cleveland is, sends the most amount of people to the state prison system.
That is correct.
And the majority of the people in the state prison system, what's their ethnicity?
Primarily,
get close to the mic there, he said.
Primarily almost everybody, 75% of the population of the 55,000 prisoners we have in the state prisons are African American and
75%.
Latino. 75%.
Well, now I know that don't add up no matter what your buddies say in the statistical world. Well, that don't add up. That's too many of us in prison if we're all committing crime at the same rate. And that should be reflective in the numbers of folks in prison, right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm going to get you on the stand like an expert witness.
Well, here's what's worse. It's almost as if it's illegal to be black or Latino, because when you think about the fact that Ohio only has 12% of its population African-American and Latino, and we locking up 75% of that population, it's clear that there are policies and laws that are being enforced on black people that aren't being enforced in the same way for everybody.
Now, Doctor, I don't want to, we could spend a lot of time. I think we need to do a whole week of shows just on that issue, but let's turn our attention back on Euclid.
Right.
Now, I remember we were talking before we got on the air about you have taken a study about how the Euclid police and who do they stop and right. and how that works. Run through that with our audience, please.
So, you know, I asked the mayor a couple of years ago after Richard Hubbard had been beat by Michael Amiot in the street to do a review of the department, because we want to know as citizens, how is the department performing, where are the issues, and what are you going to do about it? 2 years later, she never did that, just like the listening sessions. So I took it upon myself as a statistician and a person with a PhD who's trained to understand how to do this. And I pulled the records from 2015. Every arrest or citation that the Euclid Police Department tracks.
Okay.
So everybody that either arrest or that they give a citation to, they put in their database, they enter them in, all their information.
All right.
So I took the entire database, which was about 17,000 cases for 2016, 2017, 2018.
Okay.
So for those past 3 years, there were almost 2,000 stops that they call pretext stops. I have to also put the caveat in that I participated in the Euclid Citizens Police Academy, where I got to learn from them, from the horse's mouth, what they do and why they do it. And one of the investigative techniques, they call it, is pretext stops, where you ain't doing anything illegal, but they think you look suspicious. So they use your license plate cover, they use the tint on your windows as a way to pull you over to find out what you're doing inside your car, to investigate.
Is that legal? Has that passed the Supreme Court of these United States, or the Supreme Court of the state of Ohio, that you can do a pretext stop?
Well, they would say it's legal because it's illegal for you to have an equipment violation. So they have what they consider probable cause to pull you over.
I see.
I, as mayor.
So the pretext the pretext stop is a way to find probable cause to make the stop legal.
Right.
Because something is wrong with the vehicle.
Correct.
So I'm not speeding, I'm just driving, and my windows are a little tinted. But you know what the other folks are going to say. Well, you know, you shouldn't have got your windows tinted that low. Well, you know, you should have had your license plate, whatever.
Well, I told the officer that. I said, you know, you want to pull people over for a window tint. He says, well, window tint's not safe on a vehicle. I said, that's a decision for the legislature. When they outlaw window tint in Ohio, then you got a point. Otherwise, you are targeting people.
They're using the law to target people. Basically, we know what it is, right?
Well,
and when they're doing that, now you're saying that how many times are African Americans or Latinos stopped under those kind of pretext probable cause stops.
So when you, I took the numbers for those three years and looked at almost 2,000 cases that fit those types of stops,
yeah,
84% of the people that they stopped were African American.
84%.
84%. So basically,
out of 2,000?
Yes.
Wow.
So basically, if you looked at, you know, out of 2,000 times, almost every 100 times, 84 of those people are going to be black people.
Right.
Now, the thing that's eight out of ten. Well, yeah, 8 out of 10. Easier way to say it.
Yeah.
I get too sophisticated with my.
No,
my,
I'm just trying. You know, that's why I need to be breaking it down in small bits for my little brain. You know, I'm not as smart as you, Dr. Montgomery.
Well, man, I think the thing that'll get people is if you look at those stops for white residents.
Yeah.
It's less than 1%.
Less than 1% for white residents. So if you're white with any of those same infractions, matter of fact, if you white driving, they ain't even looking.
Well,
let's start with that.
And that's
they're
the
not
thing.
Even looking.
This is where you can see, be like 99 times out of 10, out of 100,
right?
You ain't going to get pulled over.
Right. Right.
And I think that what you have is a clear case of racial profiling.
Yes.
And you have a clear case of civil rights violations, U.S. Code 18241.
Right.
I am taking away your ability for freedom of movement.
Right.
So
I'm surprised that hasn't been challenged. Do you know, legally speaking, our great lawyers, we've got some great ones in the city of Cleveland.
We've had enough people to request federal investigations that.
Okay.
I would not doubt that in the next, few months that we could potentially see this. Because the other part is, all the departments have issues, but it takes situations to start bubbling up like the one that's taking place in Euclid, where people like me start pulling the numbers. Because if I send that to the Department of Justice right now, that would start an investigation. Because we had 3 years of a clear pattern.
Right. And I'll tell you, that's one of the reasons why we're having this listening session is because we want to build a case and let other people know there's more than one or two cases. This is a systemic problem that needs to be addressed.
Right.
And it needs to be addressed even under this current administration, U.S. Justice Department. If the city of Cleveland had to come under a consent decree under Obama, then we're saying that maybe that very same thing needs to happen, even though we have another kind of president than Obama. But justice is justice, and we want all of our cities to be treated with dignity and equality, and that's why we have to have this listening session tonight, and we're going to hear from other people, and we're going to get organized so when we take this matter to authorities above the mayor, we want it. I will tell you, Dr. Montgomery, I'm a very busy pastor. As a pastor, you got to do a lot of things these days to just make sure you are just living. And so I'm a very busy pastor in person. And so this is not a fight I was looking for.
Right.
But a fight that has fallen in our laps. But really, this we would prefer the city of Euclid, the officials of Euclid, the people who are from Euclid. That's why we're going to hear from them today. Those leaders, those people, those administrators, to be saying the same things we're saying.
Right.
Because we don't want any special treatment. We're not wanting anything, extra. We just want to be treated like human beings, like the other folks are being treated like humans. We want to drive freely to Home Depot, just like everybody else. That's all. It's real simple. It's not that difficult at all. And they're making something very simple, a really easy lift that they could do. It is their job to do. And now we wish they would do their job. That's all we want, people. If you're an elected official, if you're black or white, Republican or Democrat or independent, I just want you to do your job. You're the mayor, Dr. Montgomery. I'm going to say, Dr. Montgomery, I'm coming in. I want you to just do your job. I don't want to do your job for you. I just want you to do your job. That's all we're asking the mayor for. And because of our love for our people, we are going out there, Dr. Montgomery, and joining you, Cassandra McDonald. There's other people who have been working on this issue long before the Cleveland Clergy Coalition got involved. And I thank God for all of you. And we want to come and be a support of what you all are doing and help you fight that fight and bring attention to this matter. Sometimes you just need to bring attention to a matter to help get so people can know enough is enough. I will tell you what the administration is doing. It was, I mean, it's old. I feel like, you know, I was born in 1966, Dr. Montgomery, so just a little bit older than you. But I never believed, you know, I studied the civil rights movement, all of that. I always felt throughout the 80s and even in the 90s that I was born at the wrong time. Because I was, you know, I was so fascinated with the civil rights movement and our people and all of that. And just that was just not what was going on back in the 90s. Right. And I will tell you now that we're here in 2017, I see why I was born and why I had to hang around, because I needed to be here for this, because all those other guys are gone.
Right.
All of
right.
my guys the Joseph Lawrys and all of those, the Benjamin Hooks. Those guys, you know, Benjamin Hooks, I don't know if you know, he was a preacher and a lawyer. That's who he was on the president of the NAACP, the national president for some time. I knew those guys because of my dad. And I would just tell you, all those guys are gone.
Right.
Gone are very, very, you know, in their senior status. Thank God our leader here in Cleveland is still here. Thank God for Reverend Dr. D.T. Kavanagh. But he's, you know, I don't want to say how old, because he hates when I do that. But he has been around to see generations. And so, you know, we have to now, it is our responsibility to step up and bring attention to these matters so we can solve these problems. It's a shame that this is happening in 2019, that we are still talking. And it's a shame to hear Bull Connor. Remember him? When that's exactly who the chief of police sounded like. We seen that old video, and nothing what Billy Bob did, that was nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's exactly how he sounded. I said, you gotta be kidding me. And it is a shame that we are even discussing this in 2019. And I will tell you, that's why I'm not a fond of partisan politics at all. It's about what's in the best interest of our people, because you can be a Democrat and still be a racist and still not want to get something done. All the races are not in the Republican Party. Well, I would just say that clearly and distinctively. All the races are not in the Republican Party. And there is a shame that we are even having to deal with this with a Democratic mayor in the city of Euclid that is 60% African-American. And she's not sensitive enough. You know that letter that we wrote and we said can respond back in 10 days?
She never responded.
Good thing I didn't hold my breath. I wouldn't be here right now. She hasn't responded yet. Dr. Montgomery, go ahead. Let me get off my soapbox. I'm sorry. If you want to call, we're on our way to Euclid Library for a meeting, a listening session, to hear about if you've been a victim or you know somebody or you want to work on this issue. Please give us a call, 216-578-1490, 216-578-1490. We're going to be with you until about 525, and we're going to turn this great show over to our judge, Judge Ray Hedden, who's in the house, and have some great guests, and his lovely wife is here today, and we're going to have three that's going to turn over to them. But let's finish, Dr. Montgomery. Tell us about what you think are the next steps. We're going to do this listening section today. And I'll tell you, I know who somebody would make a great mayor of the city of Euclid. She just walked in this room. Go ahead, but you're here. You're here.
Well, you know, this started as a journey that was inspired by kind of what you were just saying. We both are children and the successors of the civil rights movement that was built through our grandparents and
their parents.
And so I expected, you know, as I, you know, got older, that I would be the beneficiary of a community where we were able to have equal treatment.
Yes.
At minimum.
Right, absolutely.
I'm not asking you to be in love with me or,
right.
you know, or us be buddies, but I should be able to expect human rights.
Absolutely.
In the same way that my white brothers and sisters expect them.
Right.
But what I've learned is that at every place that I've been, that there was this national idea about what civil rights was going to be, and then there was a work that needs to be done in the trenches to realize that.
That's a good point.
This is this issue that's going on out in Euclid. As I mentioned earlier, my goal wasn't to be a politician, but I can't have the tools to fix a problem and sit on the sidelines, particularly when it's people's lives that are at stake.
Right.
Because if this was a issue with housing or something, then it would be a little less acute. But this is an issue where, you know, people like Luke Stewart lost his life.
I was going to say, we had someone actually died at the hands of the
Luke Stewart lost
police,
his life with what started as him sleeping in his car.
Can't sleep in your car.
Then Aramis Spencer. Aramis Spencer lived in Cleveland for a while. Then he
Is that the music, Leo?
Oh, no.
Oh, Lord. We're on our way to the Euclid Library, 631 East 222nd Street. Meet Dr. Richard Montgomery and I. We wish we could finish this conversation, but we're going to be held in capable hands. I'm even going to see, Judge, if we can solicit your pretty wife to get on this radio with you and help you with this interview. I think that would be fantastic. She would add a lot to this conversation, wouldn't she? Yeah, let's get Maisha Hedden, who's the former mayor of Richmond Heights. She knows a thing or two about this kind of these issues. If I had time, I'd ask her what would she do if she was the mayor. I know what she would do. We wouldn't be having to have this listening session, right? You know why? Because Mayor Hedden would have already had it already.
Right.
Her police department wouldn't even be thinking about that.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's what we need. We need that kind of leadership like the Heddens provide in our community. Thank God for this, the issues, the people in the community. I'm Pastor Aaron Phillips. You won't hear me no more. I'm going to turn this over because I'm going to get in my car because I'm going to Euclid, y'all. So I got to drive the speed limit. You know they're going to be watching me. I got to go 35 miles an hour. So I got to leave now. So I'll see you in Euclid Library. God bless you. Love you, Cleveland. Have a great week.
Everything you need to know about Cleveland sports, news, weather, and more is at NewsTalkCleveland.com. For instant updates, follow us on Facebook at NewsTalk1490 and on Twitter at NewsTalk1490.
I do my best when I feel safe and inspired to learn.
That's a school board thing.
I want better opportunities than my parents had.
That's a school board thing.
We need to prepare students for the jobs of the future.
That's a school board thing.
Let's pay teachers like the professionals they are.
That's a school board thing. School boards transform communities. Text SCHOOL to 225568 to learn about school board meetings. That's SCHOOL to 225568 to learn more from XQ. Message and data rates may apply.
Greg's Towing reminds all motorists, every 6 days, a tow truck driver is killed while helping stranded motorists on the road. While driving, avoid distractions like texting. Keep a lookout for tow truck drivers. They are our first responders on the road. Driving cautiously may save a life. That message was courtesy of your good friends at Greg's Towing in Akron. They are always working to keep our community moving in a positive direction. For all your towing needs, call Greg at 330-798-0411. 330-798-0411.
I'm Amanda with Communities in Schools. I'm in school to connect at-risk students with community resources like food, shelter, and healthcare. I'm in school to support kids coping with losing a loved one, divorce, or bullying. I'm in school to partner with teachers so what happens outside the classroom doesn't impact students learning inside the classroom. Above all, I'm in school to help kids stay in school. See how we help all students succeed at communitiesinschools.org.
I've been a disruptor all my life, and I started this podcast to challenge conventional thinking and stereotypes around the Black community and Black men. Not all Black men are rappers, not all Black men are athletes, and most Black men are not thugs. If you believe we can change the narrative, if you believe we can change our communities, if you believe we can change the outcomes, then we can change the world. I'm Rob Richardson. Welcome to Disruption Now.
You can find Disruption Now anywhere you listen to podcasts or by going to disruptionnow.com.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
WERE Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at blackplanetradio.com.
Ooh.
for that little child with no father, for that man that doesn't have a place to stay, and for that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story? Tell you a story. You can lean on me.
Real Justice with Judge Ray Hedden. Real Justice with Judge Ray Hedden. Hi, I'm Ray Hedden. I'm judge of the 8th District Court of Appeals, which encompasses all of Cuyahoga County. I want to thank Pastor Aaron Phillips, who is on his way right now out to the city of Euclid, where he's going to be with all the people of the city of Euclid protesting the victims of excessive police force listening session. It's going to be an opportunity for the people of Euclid to learn more and to hear from their leaders on exactly what and how we are going to be able to have some acceptable police behavior in the city of Euclid. So while you're out there on your way, I am here. I'm Judge Ray Hedden. And what is Real Justice with Judge Ray Hedden? Real Justice with Ray Hedden is about knowledge. It's about power. It's about understanding that knowledge is power. Real Justice is about trust in our legal system. And part of that legal system, of course, is our police system. It's about each and every one of you meeting and hearing from our leaders and of our courts and of our justice system and the people and leaders of our community. And today we have with us a future leader of our community. We'll get into that right in a second. This show is new, and it's about time. It's about educating each and every one of you who are the listeners in this community about the people who are shaping your lives, the people who can help you in those times when you absolutely need it. Cuyahoga County is the place where I grew up. It's the place where my family is called home since my days growing up in Glenville. And half of each and every day while I was walking up and down the streets of 105, I had to go to school an hour and a half each way every day out to Hunting Valley. So I know most of Cuyahoga County, and I know about what we need as court leadership. Court leadership in the coming weeks, I'm going to be talking to, and I have been talking to, judges, prosecutors, leading defense counsel, prominent corporate lawyers, activists in the judiciary and in our community. And today, what I'm going to be talking about first and foremost is the honor I have right now of introducing first and foremost a person that I've known for a long, long time, a person who is a leader in our community in her own right, my wife, the mother of my children, the former mayor of Richmond Heights, councilwoman, and activist all around the county, Maisha Hedden. Hi, Maisha. How you doing?
Hello, husband, and thank you for having me here tonight.
Thank you. Yeah. So tell me about, what you're doing in the community right now that helps us and helps the community out.
Okay, thank you so much for having me, and I will pretend that I didn't basically force you to have me on the show this evening, because I did. I am currently working at Loganberry Books as the local author liaison. The bookstore has a remarkable opportunity coming up this weekend on Saturday the 21st from noon to 4 o'clock to present on behalf of Cleveland Foundation and the Great Lakes African American Writers Conference an author showcase of people of color. It's a really exciting conference, and it's a chance to get a really important social issues like the ones that you look at, Raymond, out in front of the public through literature. We have a lot of really exciting people coming. One of these people is Zachary Thomas, who I met because he brought me his chapbook at the bookstore, and it's called Writers in Residence.
Wow. One of the things that's most important about the justice system is that it impacts our youth. If there are listeners out there listening right now, we have Annisfield Wolf Fellow. And if anyone knows about the importance of the Annisfield Wolf program and the awards that are awarded to leading writers across the entire United States, It is a jewel of the city of Cleveland, one where we find our people well represented oftentimes. And this opportunity today to have a young person, Zachary, 23 years old, who has taken a leadership role in our community and has actually won a fellowship with this prestigious organization to assist in the education of our youth who are in prison, juvenile detention facilities. So that's why there's a relationship with the Real Justice with Judge Ray Hedden. It's about our youth. It's about helping our people. It's about also making sure that we have an opportunity to take what he's doing and maybe have it also apply to you and your listeners in the community. So first and foremost, welcome Zachary Thomas.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's an honor.
Oh, it's an honor to have you here. First, Zachary, let me just quickly do a quick bio on this program that you've done, the one that is already spreading really kind of throughout Northeast Ohio, and I think the kind of program that has the potential, also with the potential and backing of many foundations, but first and foremost, the Cleveland Foundation, to really shape and help our community out. At John Carroll, Thomas pioneered a creative writing program for youth incarcerated in Ohio juvenile detention centers. Writers in Residence is the name of the program. It began as an idea to reduce recidivism by bringing adolescents behind bars together with college students to build long-lasting relationships and, most importantly, really, to build up self-esteem and self-expression. Inside of these writing centers, inside of our juvenile detention facilities, Thomas has quickly learned that residents had few chances to write. Authorities allowed no pen or paper in the private quarters of the facilities, juvenile detention facilities. If a resident who's a juvenile under 18 wanted to put down a thought or something on paper, a prison staffer would hand over a crayon. The program began in earnest in spring of 2017 with two groups of John Carroll students, when two groups of John Carroll students converged on two different juvenile detention facilities, working with both male and female residents at the Cuyahoga County Juvenile Detention Center and Cuyahoga Hills Juvenile Correctional Facility. The student volunteers and their incarcerated peers, and they are peers, spend 90-minute sessions discussing short pieces of literature, connecting the art to one another's lives, going both ways, that form of interaction. The offenses are sidelined. They're not discussed. Whatever the people are in there for, they don't talk about it unless the residents themselves volunteer why they are locked up. To build trust with the residents, the program requires a strict commitment from volunteers, ensuring that the same faces show up week after week. Toward the end of the 12-week program, residents see some of their writing published in a chapbook called the Writers in Residence website. This spring, it expanded from John Carroll to Oberlin College, embedding the program in the Lorain County Juvenile Detention Home. It will encompass programs based in three more colleges during the fall semester, the College of Worcester, Youngstown State University, and Hiram College. And Hiram is one of the best colleges for writers in the United States. Thomas draws a salary through the Cleveland Foundation and will work through a Cleveland Foundation grant and will work as a liaison with the schools and the detention centers. He wants to ensure the expansion of the program stays laser focused on the youth they serve. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Why don't you take over? I've spoken enough. Tell us about your background, Zach, and tell us in particular about your youth and how everything has kind of come together for you to this point.
Okay. Well, I was originally born in Washington, D.C., but I moved here with my mother in Dayton, Ohio. I went to middle school there and high school, Chaminade Julian Catholic High School. Shout out to them. Which honestly gave me a foundation in a rigorous education, but also a life of service. And then from there, and I do want to point out, I live right down the street from where the shooting was that happened recently in Dayton. It was like really in my hometown, in my part of the city there. And then from there, that's how I found about John Carroll University. It was sort of like my last choice at that time because I was choosing either to go the athletic route, to row and crew in college, or to really focus on my academics. So I chose John Carroll based on the rigor of their education, their service, that those two components, but also because it was the most affordable for me at that time. And then from there, honestly, the program or the idea of the program didn't come about until I took a class with a professor named Debbie Rosenthal. It was a service learning course, and basically what that means is, you know, you're taking the class Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but outside of the class, you have to sign up for some sort of service component, and you kind of combine the inside and outside sort of curriculum together with service and reflecting, but also what you're learning. And the whole theme of the class was poverty in American literature. So we did a lot of reading from a lot of authors, that either, you know, families who were on food stamps or had been in and out of the incarceral system. And then we sort of talked around that based on our personal first-hand experience of doing service here in the Cleveland community. In that classroom, that was the first time I got to interact with some of my peers who were part of a program called the Carol Ballers Program. Mm-hmm. And they did very similar work that Writers in Residence does today. They used to go down to the juvenile detention center right on Quincy and actually play basketball with the residents there. And then when they're not playing basketball, so they take like on and flip on and off break, they would do like a mentorship piece. And the Carol Ballers is an entire acronym: C for character, A for attitude, R for respect. And every week it was something different. And they built these relationships with the guys there. And so one day in a reflection in the classroom, I'm not really coordinated at basketball. That's not really my forte. And so I was just curious to know if they had had any opportunity to at least write or journal. Because based on my personal experience, my mother passed away when I turned 18. And the one thing that I sort of directed all my energy toward was writing, or at least trying to understand what that grief or that loss was like mentally, but also what my heart sort of needed to, you know, expunge or feel. So, you know, they were really frustrated because of what you sort of read earlier. There were, you know, strict security protocols, reasonably so, for, you know, residents who may have a history of cutting and or self-harm. But mm-hmm. also, you know, what I really am fascinated with and sort of frustrated too, the mission of facilities like this always incorporates rehabilitation. And I think some sort of rehabilitation has to entail reflection or personal critical assessment of your life and sort of conveying those thoughts and feelings in a safe space. And so that idea was like, okay, could it be possible for we could just substitute basketball with like reading and writing somehow?
Yeah.
And so I started asking a bunch of my friends, like, hey, what do you think about this idea? I asked my advisor, same thing. And everyone kept giving me the green light, which slowly built this confidence for this idea. So I got my close friends together, and then we initially, you know, did a pilot program in the fall. And that was with Carol Baller. So we went down there and played basketball. We lost terribly, of course. But then also, instead of doing the mentorship piece, we did a pilot workshop, what that would look like. So we started with like a, you know, just a writing exercise to get the, you know, just the awkwardness out of the way.
Right.
And then we moved into the heart of our actual workshop. And that was really critical for us to move forward, because they told us the discussion we had in that workshop, that pilot workshop, was a deeper conversation or discussion that they had ever experienced with the same residents. And they had been going down for years. So they really told us that we can use literature as a vehicle to get to a deeper place or deeper conversation with them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm hearing a little music right now, but I want to get back to you after our break, because like really what you're talking about is the same thing the rappers talk about. They need to be able to express themselves. They need to be able to understand and have people listen to them, and that happens through writing or music or whatever. So we'll just take our little break, and we'll be back in a second.
He has no food, and his blue skies are gone.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear him crying now?
NewsTalkCleveland.com.
Nephew, when are you going to learn? Until you go to North Coast Auto Mall, you will not be picking me up. It's too hot in this car. The AC doesn't work.
I know, Unc. I've been meaning to get that fixed. I just rolled the window down and drive as fast as I can.
Boy, your mama must have dropped you on your head. North Coast Auto Mall is a quick fix for all these problems. I know your credit is a mess. It's okay. They see credit situations worse than yours every day, and they make it work. And they got tons of vehicles. SUVs, sports cars, sedans, all for as little as 99 cents down. And trust me, each one of those vehicles has an air conditioner.
conditioner. I'm saying, it would be nice to get a new whip for the summer, but what kind of payments am I looking at?
Listen to what I tell you. They have the lowest down payments, and they will work with you for the lowest monthly payment possible. Call 1-800-NEXT-CAR or head over to one of their three locations on Broadway and the Bedford Auto Mile in Akron across from Chapel Hill Mall or in Palmer at Pearl and Brook Park. Or pick up the phone while you're driving and call 1-800-NEXT-CAR. Take it from Uncle Earl. A new car with a cheaper car note is less than a speeding ticket just trying to stay cool.
$0.89 down. For example, amount of finance equals $9,000. APR rate 24.9. 48 monthly payments of $297 and 1 cent upon approved credit.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
This is Reverend Al Sharpton. Join the National Action Network, not because of what we have done, because we have done much, but because of what we are still doing. We need action around voting rights. We need action around health care. We need action around dealing with the injustice in the criminal justice system. Be a member of the Action Network that's out now fighting for you. Call 1-877-626-4651. Or go online to www.nationalactionnetwork.net and become a part of the action.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 30 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Check eBay before you pay too much for that thing you love. And get exactly what you want for a price that works for you. When you're overpaying, get it on eBay.
1490 WERE Traffic.
Good afternoon. This traffic update sponsored by Indeed.com. If you're on the road this evening headed southbound 271, you're going to run into some heavy stop-and-go traffic between Harvard Road and 480. Also, look out for an accident that has the left shoulder blocked if you're going East Shore Way outbound just after Dead Man's Curve. Another accident, it's an overturned semi that's blocking the right lane if you're going northbound 71 at the turnpike. And if you're in Shaker Heights, you're going to find another crash on Lee Road at Van Aken Boulevard. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you could post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490 WEREAM, the People Station.
This is for that little child. Real justice. Real justice, real justice, with Judge Ray Hedden here. Welcome back, folks. We have with us the prestigious fellow for Annisfield Wolf Fellow, Zachary Thomas, today. And he's talking about his work in our juvenile detention facilities, providing a resource and an outlet for our youth. Zachary, I wanted to just follow up with something we were talking about on a break. You mentioned that you might be able to work soon with someone that has participated in the program and is just recently released from a facility.
Yeah, when the program first got started, one of our first residents that we worked with was recently released a few months ago, and I've been sort of tracking down to see who I could have come read this, you know, this Saturday at the Great Lakes African American Writers Author Showcase.
Wow.
And I'm actually really excited. I'm going to talk to him later this evening about some of the details. He can come out, share some of his work. and just be a part of the whole entire experience.
Has it been easy to connect with people? One of the the things that as a judge I'm most interested in are those persons who are just starting to connect with our criminal justice system and to put a hold on that, to stop it dead in its tracks. And one of the goals of this program is to prevent recidivism.
100%.
Yeah.
And so one of the visions that I really have for our program is a pipeline model. You know, if we have workshops on the inside, we want to keep that relationship, keep that writing going on the outside as well. And so I work with the reentry administration and say, hey, we worked this list of kids in the fall of 2019. Can you tell me where they are, what county they're in, so I can keep in contact with them? So we sort of work via proxy of, like, you Wonderful. Know, to the parole officers from there to pass down
Excellent.
That information.
Excellent. Hey, we've got a caller on the line.
You hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Okay, Ray and Maisha. Hi. Zach, the program, I assume, is ultimately trying to move these
and who is it that we're speaking to first, Warren?
My name is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Okay. I assume that your program is ultimately trying to move them in directions of becoming good and or better citizens than they were before they came in to the the correction facility that they were in. How do you measure their mindset improving?
Todd, thank you so much for the question. I actually am going to read a little bit of a survey. So what I like to do is, since I love stats and analytics, we do a pre and post survey, and we just ask simple things like, I like the creative writing workshop. Can you rate your experience? Explain a little bit. So some of the feedback just from this past spring are the following. The creative writing workshop helps me find myself. I enjoyed learning about poetry, and I enjoyed my peers' criticism. The diversity of people and how they encourage this art the most, brings the most out of me. It lets us open up with what is easy to write than to say. I can go on, but I can also share with you the information if you want, just about our survey and our analytics. Because honestly, it's important for us to know that we are making a difference and what that impact looks like, to make sure that we're on track. We're not just in there to be in there. We want to make sure we're making a difference. You understand?
I do. I hope you could bring one of them on here and come back on this broadcast at another time. But I'll go back to listening in the interest of time.
Yeah, of course. And if you want to contact us on Facebook, Writers in Residence, just shoot us a little message. I can send you some more information about sort of our impact if you're curious.
Yeah.
And also remember that Zachary is working really hard to get one of the recently released kids at Logan Berry Books on Saturday the 21st from noon to 4. So you get a chance to see the person and interact, and I believe see how lives are changed through literature.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, husband, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Zach, you talked about how you started writing and journaling a lot after how your mother died.
Yes.
Like when you were working with the students in the detention center, did you see grief in them?
Oh yeah, 100%. There's actually a resident that I'm very close with. His name is let's just call him Williams, just for protective purposes. He actually had a similar experience to me, where he had his mom had passed away, and that's something that we sort of talked about. And I'd be honest, like, that's something that I'm comfortable now, since like it's been 5 years, where I'm in a good standing and I can talk about that. So I sort of, and any of us who have grieved or lost someone, we know it's a day-to-day sort of battle of that loss, right? We sort of feel it, we can think about it, we see someone who looks familiar, we either hear them talking to us, but really they're not. And so I sort of helped him write about that, getting it down on paper. And I can read one of his works if you guys want as well.
That'd be really cool.
That would be amazing. And is this on the website as well?
Well, actually, while Zach is looking for that, I want to let you know that on Saturday, September 21st, at Logan Berry Books, 13015 Larchmere Avenue, the book, the published work called Writers in Residence, which is the poetry and the prose written by the children while they were in juvenile detention center, is available for sale. It's $5. Every single dime goes back into the program. It is a good cause, and I really truly hope that you will show up.
I'm looking at a couple of them right now.
So this piece is called Sorry Mama. Growing up without you was hard. It turned my heart cold. I was 7 years old, Watching you pass really traumatized me. It really hurt. Ever since then, my life will never be the same. I went to jail 6 times. I went down for 4 years. All I can say is, I'm sorry, Mama. I stole from people. I hurt people. I messed up perfect opportunities. And all I can say is, I'm sorry, Mama. I hope that when I choose my career, I don't screw it up. If I do, all I can say is, I'm sorry, Mama. When I grow old and have a wife, kids, if I get divorced and can't see my kids no more, all I will say is, I'm sorry, Mama, for all the wrongs I've done. I'm sorry, Mama.
That was really amazing. That was so touching.
Amazing. Amazing.
I have another question for you, and it's, you know, it's a little bit of an edgy question, but, you know, you expanded the program to Hiram and to Oberlin. It started out at John Carroll. So obviously a lot of the college students who are working with the kids in the juvenile detention center are not African American.
A lot of them aren't. Yes.
So how are they connecting with so many of the African American residents at the detention centers?
Well, I think our baseline, we have to realize we are all human, and that's sort of what we get towards when we, you know, talk and think about literature and that pipeline, because we've all grieved, we've all been happy, we've all sort of gone through certain hardships. But I also like that, because it's all about this whole conversation of, like, privilege. What does privilege look like in all different people, no matter your race or whatever? We all have it in some sort of degree, right? And so when it comes to that, it's a humbling experience. If you're a white male going into a predominantly African-American male facility, you sort of are humbled by not only them telling their story, but that relationship being built there. Because half the time you're like, I would never consider this person, or I met this person on the outside, but on the inside, we're like really close through this creative writing workshop experience. And that's sort of, you know, the work we do with our student volunteers as well. So it's sort of twofold. We do have an impact on our residents, but we also have an impact on our student volunteers as well.
That's wonderful. And so a lot of the student volunteers have probably gotten into advocacy work,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 100%. And just more curious about what does the actual juvenile justice system entail? What does mass incarceration look like on a national scale as well? And what can they do, especially as, you know, 18-plus young voters in their communities, but also on a national stage? What does that mean? What does the power of their vote really matter at that point? And that becomes more important as well.
One of the things, too, Zachary, we spoke about before we got on the show, was just ways to connect also with people who are out right now, mm-hmm. not in the juvenile system, and how they might be able to use some of the techniques and some of the writing you've been so, you know, passionate about in getting people. How can we, you know, prevent people from committing that first crime?
Well, one thing that I asked a few months ago, just because I've been doing this a long time and I get more comfortable every time with certain questions I can ask. And I asked, you know, what do you wish you would have had before you came to prison? And so one of them told me just sheer boredom, lack of opportunity out there. Yeah. And if there was some sort of, you know, opportunities before to get them engaged, maybe that would have been a prevention for them to get incarcerated in the first place.
There you go. There you go. Hey, we got a caller, and I think it's my pastor, Pastor Aaron Phillips.
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
Just a fantastic show, and I've learned so much, and congratulations to this young man and the great work he's doing. Good to know that we have a young man doing that kind of work, Judge. That's fantastic. Good for you. I just want to make a quick couple announcements. The Cleveland Clergy Coalition, in conjunction with ACE, and Manufacturing Works, is having a job information session next Tuesday, September 24th, 2019, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Sure House Baptist Church. The judge will be there. Maisha Hedden will be there, former mayor of Richmond Heights. I'll be there, as well as Manufacturing Works, to provide opportunities. If you're looking for a job, we have several manufacturing jobs available for folks. We want to tell you about them. The employers themselves will be present to let us know about all of these great opportunities. So we want to encourage each and every one of you to come out, tell somebody. That's next Tuesday, Sure House Baptist Church, 113 18 Miles Avenue. Tell a friend, tell someone right now, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Sure House Baptist Church next Tuesday. If you have any questions or concerns, we have a telephone number to the coalition now, 216-333-1827. 216-333-1827. thank you. I just want to make sure everybody knew about this great
you
opportunity.
You got it, Pastor.
That ACE Manufacturing Works and Cleveland Clergy Coalition is bringing to our community. God bless you. Thank you, Judge.
God bless you.
Amen. So one of the things that Pastor has been so adamant about with, and I am as well, we have got to be more active in our community. We have got to make pathways that aren't there. And we've got to find that pathway around jobs. You said, Zachary, that it was about boredom and it was about lack of opportunities. We've got to, as part of whatever everyone's talking about, mass incarceration and criminal justice reform, well, if they don't have anything to do when they get back out, it's going to just be a repeat of the same process.
It really is.
10 seconds.
And I got 10 sections. Okay. Loganberry Books, Saturday, the 21st, noon to 4, 13015 Larchmere.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. WERE Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3 Cleveland.